put my fingers into them and placed my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Thomas said, "Jesus, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Well, that, of course, is all of us, isn't it? A couple of years ago, the UK satellite equivalent of Foxtel, which is called Sky Television in the UK, they launched a new channel. And this new channel's name was and is Dave. The TV channel Dave. And on the TV channel Dave, you can watch very old repeats of Top Gear. Has anyone come across Top Gear before? Car shows, shows that play to the gender stereotypes, really. And the reason they called this TV channel Dave was because they think everyone, certainly everyone in England, has got a mate called Dave. Now, quick straw poll, who's got a mate called Dave? Quite a few. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this passage, and it occurs to me that actually there aren't that many Daves. After King David, I was starting to think of other Davids. But everyone who's a disciple of Jesus, whether they become junior soldiers or senior soldiers, I think everyone needs a mate called Thomas. Thomas is a great disciple. Thomas is much maligned as doubting Thomas, but he's a much more rounded character than that. And we need Thomases in our lives. Just as the TV viewing public of England need a mate called Dave, I think that the travelling public, the community of faith, people who are learning about life with Jesus, we need people like Thomas in our lives. We ultimately, of course, need Jesus in our life, of course, that's clear. But we need other disciples. We need other people to play a part in the journey. These promises that we've witnessed being made today, enrolling a junior soldier, it's the most profound thing when someone says, "Because Jesus is my Savior from sin, I will trust him to help me keep me good, and I will try to live to help others follow him." That's a deeply significant promise. No matter how old you are, to stand and make the promise, "I will make the standards of the kingdom of God the standard for my life," that is a huge promise, isn't it? Think what that means for you. And if we're going to take those promises seriously and live them out, we need each other. We need the community of faith. And we need disciples who are real and honest and direct like Thomas. There's more to Thomas than just this story. He gets listed in all the lists of disciples in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's also, importantly, listed in Acts, where we're told, Acts 1:13, that they met and they joined constantly in prayer. This is important because it tells us that despite all that happens to him, despite what after he meets Jesus, and he's there on the beach as well with the disciples when they have a bit of a wobble in John 21, but then in Acts, he's still there. He's still hanging out with the disciples. He's still faithful in prayer, constantly praying. And because he's there, he encounters the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. So Thomas shows up. Right the way through the story, Thomas is there. He's got his struggles. He struggles with understanding Jesus, and he struggles with understanding the rest of the disciples. I think that comes across in this passage. But he shows up. And he's there. Thomas is captured for us by John, not in lists, but in conversations. Thomas is realistic. In John 11, they're going out to see Lazarus, who's ill, And Jesus is saying, I'll go and see Lazarus after a few days' delay. And the other disciples are saying, no, it's really dangerous there. The Jews got it in for you. Bad things are going to happen if you go anywhere near Jerusalem. And Lazarus' home was in Bethany, just outside the city. It would have been a dangerous thing for them to go. And Thomas says, let's go too and die with Jesus. Now, we can read that in English translations of him just being a bit cynical, or a bit sarcastic maybe, but I don't think it is that. I think it is what it says. I think he's realistic about the fact they're going to go there, they're going to see Jesus' friends, they're going to deal with this tragedy that's happened, and it's dangerous. There's a good chance they'll be killed. And he's prepared to go. He's prepared to be loyal, but he's realistic about the situation. Thomas doesn't just follow Jesus blindly, oblivious to what's going on around him. And I think it's important for today's disciples not to just follow Jesus blindly. We need to be informed about the world. We need to be informed about what's going on in our city. We need to be informed about what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our schools. Most of us walk past a school or two every day. Do we know what's going on in those schools? Do you know what people are dealing with? We should be praying for our schools. We should be praying for our places of public service. We should be engaged, aware of what's going on around us. Realistic about how the world is. It's important for us as a church family to be realistic and aware of what each of us deals with Monday to Friday. That's what the purpose of fellowship is after church, by the way. Fellowship in the Bible isn't just tea and coffee and a quick chat. Fellowship in the Bible is the Greek word koinonia. It has to do with very deep connection. It's about people coming alongside each other and saying, how are you going? How can I pray for you? What are you facing? And those are the conversations we should be having with each other as a family of faith that want to help each other grow. They want to help each other keep the promises, two of which we've seen made today, but which lots of you have made, and me. We need to be realistic about the world, aware of our freedoms and privileges, and aware too of the cost sometimes. But despite his realism, Thomas is loyal. He doesn't abandon Jesus even when it makes little sense to follow him, apart from the crisis moment at the cross when everyone else abandoned Jesus too. Loyalty is one of those qualities we instinctively value. I think we instinctively distrust people who are disloyal. The church should be a place where people, where disciples are loyal to Jesus first, but also to one another. Jesus loves his church as a bridegroom loves his bride. The Bible teaches us that. That means we're called to love it too, despite the fact that occasionally it annoys us. Occasionally things happen that get on our nerves, and occasionally even it would never happen here. But sometimes Christians irritate each other. So I've heard in some places. But Jesus loves his church, and we're commanded to do that too. It's about hanging in there when it makes little sense. See, there's only one difference between people who are part of a church and people who aren't. The people who are part of a church are the people who know they've made a mess and need a savior. That's it, isn't it? We're kidding ourselves if it's anything else than that. Following Jesus is about recognizing the mess that we've made and the mess that we would make without him. Loyalty then matters, even when things get tricky or stressful. In fact, isn't that precisely when you need your faith family? I find it difficult to understand why some people in moments of difficulty cut themselves off from their church family. It's precisely the time you need it is when life is hard. When faith is a struggle, is precisely the time we need to be alongside one another. So Thomas is loyal, and Thomas is honest. Thomas is the kind of guy that you need because he asks the question that everyone else wants to ask and is too scared to ask for fear of looking silly. Jesus is teaching his disciples before he goes through the agony of the cross. And says, I will come and prepare a place for you. You'll always be where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. And I think there's a whole bunch of disciples sat in that room going, what? What do you mean you're going to prepare a place for us? And we know how to get there. It's only Thomas who voices the question, "No, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And because Thomas asks that question, Jesus says the phrase that you can all say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And sometimes, unless the Thomases amongst us ask the honest question, the rest of us don't get an insight. Because Thomas asks his honest question, everyone else learns. That should be going on in the contemporary church as well. The questions that you're wanting to ask are probably the questions that everyone else is wanting to ask too. We need the Thomases to give voice to those questions, because then we all benefit. Imagine a sigh of relief in that room when Thomas says, "Actually, you know what? I'm confused." And the other 11 are going, "Oh, thank goodness someone said it." We need a mate called Thomas on our discipleship journey, if it's not us, or we need to be a Thomas for someone else. But note too, he's asking his questions in the context of the community of faith. And here, in this resurrection appearance. Now, how irritating would that have been? You've been through all the pain and the struggle and the running away and the fear with all your discipleship mates, and then you pop out for a bottle of milk or whatever it was, he wasn't there for some reason, and you come back, and then the other disciple says, "We've seen Jesus!" And he's missed out. How irritating would that be? How many times have someone you know who's on the Christian journey had a really great spiritual experience and they've shared it with you and you thought, "Wow, I'm really pleased for you, but that doesn't resonate with my experience at all." That happens, doesn't it? Or maybe just to me. But because he's in that community, because he's there and he's real and he's honest, and it's interesting that he still hangs out with them. No, he says, "I won't believe it unless I see it for myself." But he's still there. 8 days later, still there. And Jesus comes and says to Thomas, "Put your finger here." And Thomas, with the courage of his conviction in the moment, in the midst of his faith community, goes a step further than anyone else has gone before. "My Lord and my God." Because Thomas is prepared to be real and honest about his struggles, he's in the place where he gets the great insight and declares the divinity of Christ. Thomas is the first to recognize that here, this risen Jesus is God incarnate. "My Lord and my God." Well, it's been a privilege for us today in the enrolments of Emmaus and Tracy to witness public confessions of faith. The soldiership in the Salvation Army, junior and senior, is not simply membership. Anyone who identifies with us already belongs, and I hope you feel that. Soldiership is a covenanted life in response to God's calling. It's a covenant in which faith in the Lordship of Christ is declared, alongside the promise that "I will try to help others to follow him." It's about making a difference for Jesus in the places we inhabit, being real and informed about those places and choosing to make a difference. Thomas makes his declaration of faith amongst his faith community. In all the struggles, he sticks with them, works it out alongside them, and maybe encourages us to be in pursuit of a discipleship where we are honest about our doubts, where we support one another in community, where we encourage one another, where we enable others to share their own insights into who Jesus is for them, and where we are prepared to learn from each other. The writer of the Hebrews said this: "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." May you first and foremost have the risen Lord Jesus present and central in your life. And as you work out the life of discipleship, may you also have a Thomas in your life. Or may you be emboldened to be a Thomas for someone else. Lord bless you.